This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. Transmitting from 1,000 feet above Dry Prong, Louisiana, to all of Senla.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Magadan. Stay tuned and focused, and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Verse 4 said, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you." And hallelujah. I want to give you a thought today that I have. And it is how to maintain peace. Amen. The book of Philippians, or the epistle to Philippi, Paul writes to this church, and he tells them that, hey, you are my joy and crown. He lets them know that it brings him joy to know that they were able to withstand all of the stuff that they seen him go through. It was this same place at Philippi where Paul and Silas finds themselves in jail, and being able to cast out a devil out of a young girl, because of the owners of this young slave girl was not going to be able to get their financial contributions anymore. And so they were upset with Paul and Silas, and they cast them in the jail. And while they were in jail that night, the Bible says that at midnight, amen. How many know that sometime you're going to go through some things, and it seems to be a midnight season, but you can't let your peace be taken away from all that you are going through. Now, you got to realize here that Paul and Silas, they were only doing what God had told them to do. Amen. And when they were there, they had cast the devil out. The people beat them, whipped them with many stripes, and then put them in jail. Now, they could have said, you know what? I don't want to do this anymore. They could have lost their peace. Amen. But the Bible says at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And all of a sudden, the earthquake and the doors of the prison were open, and their chains fell off. Amen. When you're at peace with God, it doesn't matter where you are. Doesn't matter how bad of a situation you find yourself in, God can deliver you in the midst of all that you're dealing with when you have peace with him. Amen. And so this is the same place, amen, that Paul and Silas went to jail, but Paul was writing to them, and they had witnessed many things of Paul. And this was a church that was a church that really loved Paul, their pastor, their founder, amen, because he says that no other church communicated with me. No other church actually gave me any financial contributions. No other church helped me along the way but you. Nobody sent anything to me except you. Nobody thought of my care except you. And he says, it has become a sweet savor in the nostrils of God because you thought enough of me to send some stuff to me. He said, you've even sent, you sent it as a sweet smell or a sweet ointment that I can put on. Amen. He said, that has come to me. And he said that my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory. Now, Paul couldn't say that to the other churches, but he said that to Philippi. Because they were in communication. They were in support of the ministry of God. Amen? And so Paul said all these things to the church at Philippi. But the church at Philippi was subject to a lot of things like any other church. They were subject to trouble. They were subject to false teachers. Amen? Even in our day, we have so many false teachers. Amen? And I'm not calling people false on, what their attitude is, but I'm talking about what they teach. Amen? I'm not talking about what denomination they're connected to. I'm talking about what they teach. Amen? And so we have so many false teachers, even in this day, amen? And Paul was letting them know that you got to be able to have peace and be of the same mind. In this fourth chapter, he begins to talk about, if you really study early church history, Clement and all of those guys that were in the early church. And he's talking to some women. He said, two of you need to be of the same mind. You're powerful women, but you need to have the same mind. You need to be able to walk together. In other words, you need to be at peace with one another. Amen. Even in the church, we find ourselves not always at peace with every individual. But the Bible tells us with everything in us, let us try and be peaceable with all men. Amen. All right, then he says, he talks to him. He says that that we need to be, he says in verse 3, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow. In other words, we're in this together. Help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with the other fellow laborers whose names are written in the book of life. We need to help one another. But then he goes on to say in verse 4 is where I want to be. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Now, we're talking about how to maintain peace. And in order for us to, first of all, maintain peace, we have to remember to praise. That's what verse 4 says. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. He's saying to us that no matter what's going on, you need to know that praise is important. Amen. Praise is something that we must do if we're going to make it through anything. Amen. If I could just recall and remember what happened in the book of Job. Job lost more than any of us could ever say that we lost. Job went through a much harder time, and he turned around and he said, the Lord give it and the Lord take it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job knew how to praise God in the midst of his situation. Amen. He bowed himself to the ground and worshiped the Lord. How many of us would actually worship or praise God when we go through something? We won't praise God. We'll look for, instead of having a praise party, we will have a pity party. Come on. We'll look for people to pat us on the back. And if somebody didn't show up, we'll be mad with them and say, you know, I don't want to have nothing else to do with them. Look like they could have picked up the phone. They could have came by. They didn't even want to see about me. Come on and say amen here. But we have to learn how to praise God in spite of. Amen. So no matter what goes on, if you rejoice the first time and something else come your way, you need to rejoice the second time. And the third thing comes your way, I'm going to rejoice the third time. If they lie on you, you need to rejoice. If they talk about you, you need to rejoice. The Bible tells us that the apostles, the disciples in the book of Acts, when they were beaten because they preached in the name of Jesus, they came back and they began to rejoice and say, thank you, Lord, that we suffered for your name's sake. Come on and say amen. Many of us, we think suffering is always something because something bad happened or the devil did it. Sometimes God allow us to suffer, but we need to remember that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. Now, how is the glory revealed in earth on us? Because when we rejoice in the Lord in spite of what's going on, God's glory rests upon us. And then his glory keeps us and protect us from the enemy taking us out. Come on and say amen. And so the first thing that we need to understand is that we need to have a praise. Remember to praise him. And then he says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. We need to let it be known. We need to have patience and let everybody know that the Lord is at hand. We need to let everybody know, in spite of what's going on, Jesus is coming back. And when he get here, he's going to fix all this mess that we got ourselves into. Oh, yeah, we need to let people know that he's on his way back. Whether you get it right or not, he's on his way back. We need to let the Muslim know that if you don't bow the knee to the name of Jesus, that there'll be a day that you'll still bow. We need to let the Buddhists know that there's going to be a day that you'll still bow. Come on, that he's coming back. We need to let the atheists know, you may not believe now, but there's going to come a day that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. You may not say it now, but the day is going to come that every tongue is going to say that he is Lord. He may not be the Lord of your life now, but you just wait. He's going to show up, and you'll see when you bow the knee and you have to confess that he is Lord. Let's read a little further. He says in verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Look at that. We need to have praise and be patient. Amen. Remember to be patient. Remember to have a praise, but you got to remember to pray. This is how you maintain your peace. Amen. You got to remember to pray. He said, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests, let them be known unto God. He's saying, don't be in anxiety. Don't have anxiety attacks over stuff that you can't control. I need to put that in God's hand. I can't change it. I can't do anything about it. So now I need to put it in God's hand. I can't do anything except pray, amen, and ask God to do whatever it is he wants to do, amen. He says that we need to not be careful. Don't be anxious for nothing. He said, but in everything by prayer, and everything that goes on with you, you need to pray. Everything that you deal with, you need to pray. If you're going to purchase something, you need to pray. If you're going to leave and move, you need to pray. If you're going to travel on the highway, you need to pray. You need to wake up in the morning, and the first thing you should do is not check your phone. Come on and say amen. But you need to pray, because so many of us, we wake up in the morning to see who text or who. Oh, come on and say, man, while you laying in the bed, you got Twitter. You're looking at Twitter. You're on Facebook. But you need to get out of the bed, pray first before I start my day. I need to. That ought to be something you can keep. Before I start my day, I need to pray. Come on and say amen. But we have to remember to pray, because when we pray, prayer puts us in the presence of God. And when we get in the presence of God, we can gain peace through prayer. Amen. Because sometimes when you pray, it doesn't feel good. Amen. Doesn't feel good sometimes when you're going through some stuff, but then you start to pray. And when you come out of prayer, you start to feel better. Just a little talk with Jesus makes it all right. Amen. When I talk to the Lord about it, I believe when I say something to him, he has a way of sometime, even if I don't hear him say anything, he has a way of putting something in my heart to let me know that it's going to be all right. And sometimes it's only a feeling that I have. And I can get up off my knees and say, I got a feeling that everything is going to be all right. It hadn't changed. My situation is still the same. I get up and I still got bills do. I get up and sometimes I might still have pain in my body, but I do know because I prayed it's going to be all right, because now it's in the hand of God. And when you start putting things in the hand of God, you're saying, God, I can't do anything with it. Only you can do something with it. But sometimes we don't actually put it all in his hand. We say, God, I'll let you have some of it, but I'm going to hold on to the rest of it because I'm not trusting that you can do what I think you should be able to do. And so that's our fault. Something is wrong with us when we don't trust God to let him handle it. Amen. So when I pray, I need to say, God, I'm putting it all in your hand. And you know, people always say prayer changes things. You know, prayer changes me. Prayer changes how I feel about it. But really, prayer, what it does, it makes me feel better. But God, the God of prayer, changes the things. Amen. He said, prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Amen. Make your request be made known unto God. So your prayer, not only do your prayer need to be a communication, but it needs to be a praise in your prayer. He said, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. I talk to God and I thank him for whatever it is he's going to do. Amen. I don't say, God, if it be your will, please. No. If he said it in his word, I know he can do it. Verse 7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And we remember the praise, God, and remember to pray to God. But we must remember the promises of God. So many people, and I say this over and over again, so many people are standing on the premises. But they're sitting on the premises, but they're not standing on the promises. Amen. I must stand on the promises of God. Amen. We got to see here that God promises us peace. Amen. Look at what it says. It says that, and the peace of God, the peace of God. This is God's peace. This is not the world's peace. Jesus said, I give you my peace, not as the world give it, because the world give you peace to escape whatever it is. But God gives you peace that when you're in it, you can still look up to the hills for whence cometh your help and know that your help comes from God. Y'all with me today? But we got to see here that is a peace that surpasses. It goes higher and goes beyond any understanding that the world could have. They don't understand how we can keep on for 2,000 years talking about Jesus is coming and stay at peace. Come on and say amen. And they say, well, he hadn't come yet. But you hold on and wait and see. He's coming. Everything's lining up and he's getting ready to come back. Come on and say amen. Peace, it comes through prayer. And when we look at the peace of God, how it surpasses all understanding. You got to look, and I can't help but look at how Jesus, when he was praying in the garden, he had peace when he got up. He went to the garden to pray, and he said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. But when he got through, he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. He didn't have so much of to say peace like we would say when he went in the garden, but when he got up, he had peace. And when he opened his mouth, peace showed up. Because when he opened his mouth, the people who came to arrest him, they fell back. For come on and say amen. For the power that was in him. And that was a power of peace. Come on and say amen. And so we need to be like him. We need to have peace. Amen. We need to have peace that God promised us. Not the peace that the world offers. The peace that the world offers is fake. The peace that the world offers is superficial. But the peace that God gives us is not a peace from what we can see on the outside. It's the peace that he gives us on the inside. Notice what he said. He said that the peace of God surpasses all understanding, shall keep first of all your heart. Where is it that the enemy want to get to? If the devil can get in your heart, he can make a mess of your life. And so the peace of God is a garrison around your heart to keep you, the innermost part of your being, your inside, the innermost person you are. The peace of God comes and protects that person. Come on and say amen. Then he said, and your minds through Christ Jesus. You got to be in Christ and he'll keep your mind. And we got to know, just like it says in Isaiah, that he'll keep you in what? Perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. He'll keep our minds. And you know what? If your mind can stay right, then you can stay right. Come on and say amen. The devil knows that if I can get in their mind, why do you think he spreads so much gossip and tell you all kind of junk and keep your mind busy with stuff other than the word of God? Why do you think he keep bombarding you and you sit up and watch TV, but then when you go through something, you don't know how to pray? Because he bombarded you with stuff that will block the things that will help you. Come on and say amen. And so now I got to put that stuff aside and I got to let the peace of God keep my mind and my heart. Do you know that whatever goes on, goes into the mind, will eventually end up in the heart? Oh, come on and say amen. When you hear somebody says something about you, you're looking at them and you're saying, you know, I'm going to forgive them. But then when you start thinking about it and you keep thinking about it, sooner or later what happens in the mind is that you get angry in the mind and then bitterness falls into the heart. And then now you say, I love them, but I forgive them, but I ain't got to fool with them. Come on and say amen. I love them because I got to love them. That's a poor excuse to love somebody. Come on and say amen. But I love you because I want to, because God loved me when I was wretched. So I'm going to extend the same love that God extended to me. Can I get a witness in here today? But we have to remember his promises of peace. He promised to keep us in peace. Amen. We got to remember that he'll keep our heart, that he'll keep our mind with a peace that nobody will be able to understand. You've been up to here in debt. Oh, come on and say amen. Your heart has been full of fear, but God is still keeping you. Come on and say amen here. Oh, yeah, you got some stuff that nobody knows, the troubles that you've seen. But guess what? God's peace is keeping you. You're still waking up every morning thanking God. You're still getting up and coming to church every Sunday and every Thursday night saying, God, I know I got some issues, but I'm here. And thank you for the peace that you give me to make it here. Oh, come on and say amen. You can go to work and everybody don't know your problem. They don't even know that you're going through anything. They don't even know the sorrows of your heart because you don't wear it on your face because of the peace of God that is protecting your heart and your mind. Do you know what that kind of peace feels like? It's the kind of peace that make you want to leap for joy to say, you know what? God is on my side. I don't have to fear. Oh, come on, praise his name. That when the enemy comes in like a flood, God give me peace in my heart and I don't have to fret. I don't have to run. Oh, come on, praise his name. Oh, yeah, and I'm almost done now. And verse 8 says, and look at what Paul says. Paul, I believe he was coming to a close in his sermon. And Paul began to say, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Oh, before I say that, but let me say this. We got to remember, in order to maintain peace, we have to remember to praise God. We have to remember to pray. Amen. We have to remember to keep our patience. Come on and say amen. We have to remember the promise of peace that he gave to us. But we also have to remember to be positive in our ponderings. In other words, we need to have some positive thinking. Amen. That's why he says, look at this. He says, and finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, pure, lovely, and of good report. He said, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. We need to know what Paul was talking about. Paul is saying that if I can get my thinking right, instead of me having that stinking thinking, oh, praise his name. If I can just get my thoughts right. See, what you got to understand here is that your thoughts will shape your behavior. Oh, come on and praise his name. If somebody you don't like comes around and you start thinking about what they did, your behavior shows what you're thinking. Because you look at them and you turn your nose up. You look at them and you roll your eyes. Oh, yeah, your behavior, oh, come on and say amen, is shaped by what you think. And so Paul is saying to us, he's saying that instead of you having stinking thinking, instead of you messing up your own mind, he said there are some things that you need to think about. You need to think about what's pure. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to think about God. I'm going to think about some things that are honest. The only thing I know that's really honest is the word of God. Oh yeah, I'm going to think about those things. Whatsoever things are lovely, it's lovely to see the children of God come together. So I'm going to think about church and us coming together in unity because the scripture said, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Can I get a witness in this place today? Then he says, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything to praise God about, let me think about those things. I got some things that I can run down the list that I can think of to praise God about. Oh, praise his name. Do anybody here have anything that you can think about at this moment and say, I can really give God praise for that? Oh, come on, praise his name. If you have children, that's enough to praise God about. Oh, come on, praise the Lord. Oh, yeah, if you have life in your body, that's enough to praise God about. I don't care what it is. If you've ever been sick in your body and the Lord healed you, that's enough to lift up your hands and rear your head back and say, thank you. I wish I had somebody that'll help me praise him here. You see what he said here in verse number 9. He said, the things that I've shown you, that you learned and received of me, and the things you heard and seen me do, if you can do those things, he said, the peace of God, he said, the God of peace will be with you. I like what Paul said. He said, you got to do these things in order to get the peace of God. But once you've done those things, he said, now the God of peace, God don't send his peace, he brings his peace. Oh, come on, praise his name. There's a lot of you worried about God sending this. God send your anointing. God send your healing. God send your power. God say, I don't have to send it. God say, I'm my own delivery man. God say, I'll deliver it on time. God say, I'm everywhere. Anyway, so all you got to do is access me, and I'll give you what you need. Oh, praise his name. I'm reminded of a story. There was a man who was a pilot, and the pilot was a pretty good pilot. He had his own airplane, and this day he had his plane out in a field, and when he got ready to take off, he had noticed he saw some rat droppings. He said, I hope the rats hadn't got in my wires and started eating up my wires in my plane. But as he drove, got ready to fly, and as the plane started to lift off, he heard some rattling, and it sounded like the rat was eating away some things in the plane, and the man went on and flew anyway. Well, by the time he got halfway, he really heard the sound louder. He said, sound like the rat is in my control panel. He was 2 hours away from the landing place, and he was 2 hours away from his destination, so he couldn't turn back, and he had to wait and go forward. And he said, I hope the rat hadn't eaten up my controls. So he said, I know what? I don't know what to do. I wish I could do something. And he began to panic, and he started thinking about everything. The worst case scenario, he said, if the rat eats my controls, I don't know what I'm going to do. I didn't bring my parachute because I've done this so many times. I can't jump out of the plane. There's no water to land in. Oh, I guess I'm going to have to die. And he started to remember some things, and he started thanking God and praying. And when he started to pray, then something came to him, something he learned in fifth grade. He learned that rodents, they're land animals, and they can't handle high altitudes. So the man said, wow, while I was praying, God gave me an idea. And he said, I think I'll go a little higher. See, what we got to do is that when the rodents of life, come on and say amen, when they start eating away in your life, you need to start going a little higher. When he started to pray, then God revealed something. So he went up a little higher, and then he went on up higher, and sooner or later, he didn't hear anything. He didn't hear the rat eating. He didn't hear the rat running, but he realized the rat was now dead. What I'm trying to tell you is that all you got to do when the rodents of life start eating away at you, when it eat away at your mind, eating away at your soul, eating away at your life, just go a little higher. Come on and say yes here. Come on and give God some praise. I don't know about you, but I had some rodents in my life. They've been eating away at me, but I believe today I'm not going to land. I'm not going to look for the rodent. I'm just going to go higher. How do I kill a rodent? Go higher. Some of you, maybe you got some snakes. You can do the same thing with a snake that you do with a rodent. How do I kill a snake? While I'm flying high, just go a little higher. And as soon as I get higher, they begin to die. That's why Jesus, he went to a high place. Every time he prayed, he said, the devil can't follow me. So I go up the mountaintop and start to pray. What we got to realize is the devil, as long as you're here on a lower level, the devil will keep messing with you. But when I go to a high level, when I go up to a high altitude, when I start to pray, when I dwell in the secret place of the Most High, I can get the devil dead.